Let's turn our attention now to some analysis of those numbers that came in from USDA this morning. On the phone line for this Friday afternoon, the 10th day of October, is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning or good afternoon to you, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Todd. Good afternoon to you, too, sir.
Well, let's go back through some of the numbers, maybe, and more importantly, what happened in Chicago, because the numbers weren't that much different than the trade expected, maybe a little bit lower than most had thought. However, bean futures failed by 20 cents today. Why was that the case?
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where it looked pretty bad after the report, and we did have a really nice buy signal set up on the weekly Bloomberg Grain Index chart heading into today's report. And so from that respect, Todd, it was a disappointing close. I would say, though, we were still up for the week. It could have been better, but we still had the second best, a second closing higher in 2 weeks for the corn. And if you exclude doing that in early August, that we did just for 2 weeks in early August, we hadn't been able to do that since February. So if you take a step back after the close and look at the weekly charts and the weekly numbers, it's not as bad as how we closed. Having said that, I was disappointed with the soybeans because even though the low trade guess out there was 376 million bushels, that was only one analyst, and the next closest was 420 million bushels. And when you look at the numbers in depth on the beans, that 450 number was a low number, and USDA kept the average price the same. They kept South American production unchanged, and they kept Chinese imports unchanged, didn't lower them like the ag attaché did earlier this week. And so when you had 5 of 22 private estimates at or below where USDA came in today, you would have expected the beans to have a little bit better price action. But I think, quite frankly, the stocks-to-use ratios and the global stocks numbers just did not let the market trade any of the demand or trade any of the harvest weather, for that matter.
So tell me about the stocks-to-use ratios, both on the national and international levels.
Yeah, in the soybeans, we'll start there. We did go from 13.2% last month down to 12.5%, but the soybean ending stocks globally did increase from 31.6% to almost 32%. So I think that's what offset a lot of the friendliness of the soybeans. In the corn, we went from a 14.7% U.S. stocks to use to 15.2%. And I think that hurt the corn. I think also we saw a lower export forecast for Japan, and I think that was not expected, and the trade did not like that much at all. The corn ending stocks, stocks to use globally stayed the same, while the coarse grains inched up to about 18%, or about 0.2% higher. It was really the wheat that was able to see the best numbers on both sides of the ledger, dropping down to 30.5%. on the stocks to use domestically and dropping down below 27% globally. So we're only about 0.6% from where we were last year when it comes to the world wheat stocks to use. And that's a very, I think, supportive feature to the corn market as we work into harvest.
So on the global front, where is it that things changed in the soybeans? Because we don't have from September to October change in either Argentine soybeans or Brazilian soybeans and their production, right?
That's exactly right. And you didn't get much of a demand change. In fact, you saw China's crush numbers go up a little bit. So really the only thing you saw was the U.S. Production numbers show up the most in today's report, and the exports came down just a hair. But last month we were at 90.17 on the ending stocks for soybeans. This month we came in at 90.67, so we just jumped up about a half a million tons.
So honestly, that appears to be maybe good news across, because it, and I'm just thinking backwards, that the $10, $11, and $12 beans did not appear to cause producers in South America to plant more bean acres than we really thought were going to be there to begin with.
This is the thing that I think is important going forward. You bring up a huge point. I think they intended to, but I think between their political issues, their inflationary issues in Argentina, the presidential election in Brazil, and the talk of Brazil's politicians and government taking more control of the agriculture industry, not unlike Argentina, and then throwing on top of that a drier weather bias that started to show up in late September in northern Brazil, especially in Mato Grosso. I think you have these things that have detracted from jumping on that, let's jump, increase the bean acres and soy acres aggressively as the trade had thought. In fact, I think now more private industry analysts are probably coming back below 94 million metric tons for the Brazilian crop instead of continuing to go higher and higher. That's still a big number, though, and that's what the trade essentially said after the report came out today, was that I'm not going to be able to buy this. And I think this makes sense from a standpoint of if you don't look at demand and you don't look at the harvest weather, it was a negative report, and so then you have to rely upon the technicals.
Okay, so again, USDA, as you mentioned earlier, kept the cash price range from $9 to $11. That hasn't changed. Does today's report do anything in your mind to change the way you think about marketing soybeans at harvest time?
Yeah, big thing that happened this week, there's two big major price trends this week ahead of this report. One was we continue to see the recoupling of the asset classes. The grains and agriculture, livestock went up while the crude oil overall commodity indices and equities went down. And so that's still a healthy inflationary bias that we saw this week, even through the Federal Reserve meeting. The second thing was the corn-bean spreading. We saw the corn gain on the beans pretty much all week long. In fact, by Wednesday, we'd hit the lowest point on the ratio for the bean-corn ratio for 2014 since July. Now, we saw that actually turn today in favor of the beans. So the flat price looked ugly in the beans, but percentage-wise, beans actually closed better than corn. I think this is where today's report helps me feel as though the beans are not going to be as much a drag, especially the domestic ending stocks won't be as much a drag on the corn and lead the corn lower. And we had talked about this last week, that that ratio was getting very high so that if the beans went down, the corn could essentially stay flatline. If the beans would happen to turn around, that would suggest to me that you could have the corn really move in favor with the beans if the beans did decide to go back up, on whether it's harvest delays or the Brazilian planting problems that continue.
And the all-important question, of course, sell or store?
I think you have to continue to store, because one thing that this trade has not accepted is a potential harvest delay or planting problems in Brazil. But the cash market started to participate in that today and earlier in Thursday's trade as well. So the later part of this week, we saw the cash basis at the river improve because barges were not as needed, and that was because we weren't getting as much grain out of the fields. And so I think the cash market still has a better look to it from that perspective, especially as we stay wet.
And that's for soybeans?
It's for both.
For both. Okay, so there we are for both. Any other things that we ought to talk about today?
I think the only other thing I would say to you is the harvest progress numbers we probably won't get on Monday because of Columbus Day.
Right.
But we were probably, in the last year we had decent progress and didn't skip because of a government shutdown was back in 2011. And at the time that we go into Tuesday's trade, we were at about 32% harvested in corn and 51% harvested in beans. So those are kind of the markers I'm setting down as we get to Tuesday afternoon's numbers.
Anything from the livestock side to discuss?
Well, USDA did come down on their pork production for 2014, but they kept their prices the same. They also raised the production for beef in 2014 and raised the pork in 2015. They see what the rest of us see out there in the analytical world, is that livestock feeding demand is only going to increase, and reproduction and building of herds is only going to increase at these prices for grain. So I think you do have that window of opportunity to get hedges in place in livestock, but it's quickly narrowing.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you in a bit. That, of course, is Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting, and he is in Atchison, Kansas.